We're going to talk about a really, really interesting topic, and it's a yisod of the Netziv. A yisod of the Netziv. Okay. The yisod of the Netziv, which is really intriguing. We're going to try next week to contextualize it in the thought in general, in particular in terms of Chassidus. We'll clarify what we mean. I think it'll become clear as we go forward. But the Netziv has a theory. One of the amazing things you could do when you learn Netziv sometimes is the Netziv writes, and he references things he writes in other places. And as long as you just like follow the chain, you end up with a bunch of different Netzivs from all over the place that all are on the same Yisod. So the Netziv in Parshas Korach, it's a Netziv in Parshas Shlach, it's a Netziv in Parshas Shmini, it's two Netzivs in his commentary on Shir HaShirim. I don't think it's so surprising. I was not chazering the Netzivs on Shir HaShirim when this suddenly came up. He leads you there from other places. As long as you follow the chain, you'll be able to get there. And he develops what is an amazingly intriguing yisod. Let me begin by pointing out the following. In general, the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem, if you have to, Es Hashem Elokecha, Parshas V'Yaschanan, the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem is a mitzvah that is on some level of paramount importance. The mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem is a mitzvah not like others. It's a mitzvah which is, in the Rambam, in Hilchos Yisodi HaTorah, it's of the fundamentals. So the most fundamental Torah a person can learn is mitzvah that relates to Ahavas Hashem. The Sefer Chinuch even writes, Ahavas Hashem is one of the mitzvos to midios. The mitzvah that on some level a person's constantly obligated in, that mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem, it is such a chashuv mitzvah. Mitzvah Hashem we spoke about years ago, we learned the Maharal, different elements of the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem. The Netziv even points out that there are different elements. One, we are familiar with from Perek Hei in Hilchos Yisodi HaTorah, that Ahavas Hashem is one of the mechayvim, that if a person is in the makom sakana sometimes, something can be parak v'al yavor, that the Netziv connects that to, if you have to es Hashem Elokecha, that part of the Ahava, based on the Gemara's Mesechus Brach, other places, part we love Hashem so much, I'm willing at times to give my life for Ribono Shel Olam. That's one component of Ahavas Hashem. There's also an Ahavas Hashem, points out the Netziv, which is one he associates with Dveikas b'machshavaso, when a person is in love with something, they aren't just willing to sacrifice for that person. When you're in love, you think about that person all the time. And all you want to be is with that person. That's what you're looking for. It's what you're striving for. It's a certain kind of love. It's amazing, like chuka, amazing desire to be with that person. I remember when I was engaged to my wife, when you're engaged, later at night, I'm a little more free-flowing, I guess. When you are engaged, it's an amazing thing because you want to get married very badly, but you can't yet. And you're like, sort of like, it's an awkward thing. You've decided you want to marry this person. So you're like, okay, let's do it. But take a 4-month break. You know, let's wait until we can actually go there. I remember the wife of a very good friend of mine saying to me that there's something very beautiful about being in a state where all you really want is to be married to someone. There's a certain excitement about that, like what the Netziv writes here, this Dveikas b'machshavaso b'tshuka atzum l'shashayim anehav. You want to be with that person so much. It's a certain kind of ahava, which is very, very beautiful, and different elements of ahava. The Netziv points out that depending on what kind of person you are, that impacts what your ahavas Hashem looks like. If you're like a regular person and you work you're a regular guy, so it may be very hard to be at the level where you love Hashem so much that you are like thinking about the Ribono Shel Olam all day, and you're just like envisioning, you know, like these high upper level thoughts of Dveikas. You're a regular guy, so part of Ahavas Hashem is like there may be moments where you have to sacrifice the Ribono Shel Olam. You want to sacrifice a little bit. Then you have these like very holy people. These very holy people are all, wherever they go, they're thinking about Ribono Shel Olam. And those are people that are very much elevated. The person is so elevated. They're so elevated that they are lashkia machshavaso ba'ava v'dveikas. They're thinking about Ahava, they're thinking about Dveikas all the time. Ahavas all the time. Okay, the thing called Ahavas Hashem. Ahavas Hashem is very, very important. Ahavas Hashem is something which can impact us as far as our willingness to sacrifice. It can also move us as far as our desire to cultivate a relationship with thinking about Hashem all the time. The Netziv has a theory, and the theory is an amazing theory. It is one that I want to make an observation. I don't know if this point is true, but I really want it to be true, so I'm going to say it like it is. But I'm not sure that it really, I can't tell you for sure that this is accurate. I believe in the Netziv, at least in a bunch of plays in his writings, there are a lot of new movements that are always going on. A lot of new developments which take place in the world. Taking place in the time of the Netziv, taking place in terms of Zionism is picking up time of the Nitziv, the Haskalah, the Enlightenment is picking up time of the Nitziv, Chassidus is existing in the time of the Nitziv. It's a very vibrant kind of a scene with a lot of things going on, Some of those things the Nitziv may have been more supportive of, some of them he may have been very anti, some of them he may have been more ambivalent. The Nitziv, different perspectives. There is a phenomenon sometimes, I remember hearing a very wise person once make this observation, that whenever things come up that seem to be very new, we act as if it's like the first time in history this ever happened. You know, I remember this being at a conference a bunch of years ago, and it was a conference for educators, and they were talking about like smartphones. And you had people talking about nothing's ever been like this ever, and we have to find these like new solutions, you know, or things that we've never thought of for everyone. So I think they said there, Shmuel Kamenetsky, when they asked him about, like, you know, he's like, it's important to chazik in Shabbos. Like, Shabbos is really important. Meaning, what he meant on some level was, Shabbos is really important because of the time where you're away from your phone and it shows that your person can develop and break a connection, technology, and sit down together as a family. But part of it, the Torah also there is that for we don't always need, like, not everything's new. There are always challenges. There are always new things coming up. And we've dealt with similar challenges over time. And sometimes real manhigim are good at being able to address that. Rav Schechter, I thought, did such a good job of that in articulating his psakim about COVID. You know, like, not every psak about COVID is the newest psak in the world. It's not the first time that we've had a magefa in Klal Yisrael. It's not the first time we're ever dealing with a shatat chat situation about these things. And sometimes the bigger people, some people like us, are like, oh my gosh, like, what are we going to do about all these different things? Like, Tfilas Kalim, how are you going to be talking about Kalim before Pesach? What are you going to do about this? Because it's like the individual, like, it's just like, this is what you do. And like, suddenly it becomes like, bigger people are able to see things in a particular context, which can be very, very helpful. So Nitziv is dealing in a particular context, but he's very good at noting a phenomenon, which it's a phenomenon which he maintains is relevant in his generation, as we'll get to in a little bit. But it's one which is he thinks is has always been true, and that's the following. There are people who have such a degree of Avas Hashem that their Avas Hashem almost has no boundaries. Avas Hashem has no boundaries. And what happens with an Avas Hashem with no boundaries is a person can love Hashem so much to stop keeping Torah mitzvos the same way. Because they just want dveikus with Ribbono Shel Olam. And the idea of certain details of Torah mitzvos, I just want dveikus with Ribbono Shel Olam. And you have people that are purely L'Shem Shemayim, that are very aspirational, they really want to accomplish a tremendous amount. But L'Maisa, there are people who are sitting there, there are people who have not attained the level that one would have potentially envisioned. They're striving for Ava. Where do you find this? In a bunch of different contexts. It's a very, very famous mitziv in Parshas Korach. The mitziv points out that not all of the groups who are challenging Moshe Rabbeinu are really entirely the same. Korach was one kind of person. Dathan v'Aviram was someone else. But there were 250 people that, if you remember, they were people that wanted to offer Ketores. They ended up being killed. They were killed not by being swallowed up in the ground. They were killed through an Eish when they offered the Ketores. What's pshat with those people? Says the Nitziv the following observation. You had 250 people that knew they were never going to be able to offer Ketores. They weren't Kohanim. They believed in Moshe Rabbeinu. They knew that Moshe was right. They knew that challenging and saying, we want to offer Ketores, if they offer it, they're likely to die. They knew that was going to happen. But you know what? They wanted to do it anyway. Al-Korach Yishlahavin, that these people, Be'emes Gedol Yisrael B'chol Prat Gam B'Yiris Hashem. They were such Yerushalayim. V'haysa Menias HaKahuna Ke'esh Po Eres B'Kirbam. They were so upset they couldn't go into the Mikdash. They wanted so badly to go in. Not for covered reasons. They loved Hashem so much. And they wanted to mashu atram l'mesiris nefesh v'lammas al avas Hashem. They wanted to die out of avas Hashem. I'm going to do whatever I can to be able to offer the Ketores. Says Nitziv, are they right or wrong? The answer is they're wrong, but they get punished in a bit of a holier way. They were there. They weren't. That's why they got a sreifa be'esh sheyatza mekodesh hakadoshim. They get burned with a fire from kodesh hakadoshim. What they did was wrong. There's a certain elevated kind of a component which is there. That was part of the chait. That was part of the chait of those people. Hey McDavar in part of Shmi and Sif says, by Inyan, Dikvar Haya Bime Moshe, Kitos Kiyabi Israel, Shayu Lahutim, Lohutim Akhar, Avas Hashem, Avalo Aide Gvulim Shekbila Torah. Ever meet people like this? to the Tziv. It already existed from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. This chaver that loves Avas Hashem, they hate the Torahs like boundaries. They hate they can't just do whatever they want. They hate that they can't daven Friday night forever and just do whatever they want. And then amazing, amazing dveikas, and then I'll like sleep in the next day, you know, a little bit. Like because Hashem loves me so much. He loves me when I sleep. Tiferes Shmuel writes, and Alexander Rebbe is that the Ari HaKadosh reached Madregas and sleeping more than when he was awake. I want to tap into the Ari. I think I'll oversleep also. It'll be my opportunity. You know, I want to be, yeah. Yeah. 9:30. Spoke about it this morning. These groups, these boundaries, they couldn't really handle. Also, Yitzhara ha'avir milichem shegam zat shuka. I forgot if she's hazik about Hashem b'kedusha. It still has problems, but they repented so much of this. Says that it's an amazing thing. That is pshat in parsha shlach behind tzitzis. How did tzitzis serve l'man tiskeru? Torah tells that tzitzis are there to remind us to keep Torah and mitzvot. So the Rishonim debate a little bit how tzitzis works. How does it remind us of the 613? Rashi writes it's a little bit of a gematria. Strings, knots, equals 613. You're good to go. That's what it is. So writes Rashi. The Ramban understands that you remember mitzvot through tcheles. The Netziv is a particular theory. It says Netziv, our tzitzis have white and our tzitzis have blue. Our white and our blue remind us to do mitzvos in different ways. They are addressing different crowds. The white, that's more of a regular person. It's a little bit more plain. They go through their day-to-day lives. They go through their day-to-day business. So it's just like the regular clothing. Minak Knaf, like Gemara says. It's like the same color as their clothing. It's part of their clothing. It's an extension of it. But that's something that they have to remember. Okay, keep mitzvos in your regular day-to-day. Make sure to keep mitzvos. But then you have people who are like Tcheles Jews. What's Tcheles? Dom Eliam, Akia, Yisei HaKavod. They're living all the way up in the upper worlds the whole time. And all they're doing and all they're really thinking about is like, I just want to be close to Hashem. You know? The halacha thing is that it's in my style. I want to be close to Hashem, whatever that means. Whatever that means, I'll smoke whatever I want to smoke. I'll do whatever I want to do. I just want to be close to Ribono Shel Olam. Hashem, you know? Gevalt. You know, something like that. And what's going to... No. Says the Netziv. Tcheles is the reminder. The reminder is, even if you're a Tcheles Jew, even if you're thinking all the time about Kisei HaKavod, you're thinking about Avas Hashem all the way up there, remember, make sure to remember mitzvos. Make sure to remember mitzvos. You too have to keep mitzvos. You too have to make sure that you're going to be observing things. You too have to make sure that everything is going to be as clear as it possibly can. Says the Netziv an amazing thing. These groups existed in the time of Moshe. They existed when Korach opposed him. They exist in the time of Shlomo HaMelech also. Shlomo HaMelech also. An amazing, amazing thing. He writes this in his commentary on Shir HaShirim. He says, you know, Shlomo HaMelech delayed a little bit building Beis HaMikdash. You know why Shlomo HaMelech delayed building Beis HaMikdash? It was like a little bit of a mistake. But why did Shlomo HaMelech delay building it? For the following reason. It's a wild idea. It's a wild idea. Says it as follows. You know what the problem was of Beis HaMikdash? On the one hand, we're commanded V'asuli Mikdash V'shachanti B'socham. On the one hand, we're commanded to build the Mishkan and to build the Beis HaMikdash. But there's a problem. The second that you build a Beis HaMikdash, what is no longer going to be allowed? Bamos. What are bamos? Spoke about it a little bit ago. Bamos are everyone could build their own private mizbeach. Everyone could offer their own private karba. Everyone could do their own thing. Shlomo HaMelech, there's a bit of ambivalence about building a Beis HaMikdash. You know why? A mikdash is awesome because Hashem tells us to have a mikdash. That's the din. The problem is that with that mikdash, suddenly bamos become aser. Losing the opportunity for bamos, so you get a mikdash, but you lose bamos. Bamos are awesome for the Avas Hashem Jews. They can offer their own karban in their backyard. They can offer their own karban, whatever. They love this stuff. And those people are sort of rooting against the mikdash a little bit. They don't want to have to have a mikdash. They don't want to have those limitations. They want to be able to do it wherever they can. They're loving this stuff. They want to be able to do it in a very
exciting kind of a way. They want Shlomo HaMelech delays a little bit building the Beis HaMikdash, because he wants this opportunity. The Pasuk, even in Sefer Malachim, praises Shlomo, critiques Shlomo for all the bumbos he was offering. What's so bad about that? Shlomo didn't delay building his mikdash because he was lazy. Building mitzvahs means no more bamos. Yismai machmazeh avas Hashem b'Yisrael. They'll be less avas Hashem. They never can connect in their own way in their backyard. So they have to go to a mikdash, and I can't offer the carpet by myself. I can't do it, and it's going to lead to me being a little bit more frustrated. Says the Netziv. This also explains the Omek HaPshat in a Maimer Chazal, which is so hard to understand. The Gemara in the beginning of Parshas Vayera. What happens in Parshas Vayera? Parshas Vayera comes along Avram Avinu. Now Avram Avinu is there being mekabel pnei hashchina, and guests come. And what does Avram do? Avram stops with the kabbal's pnei hashchina, and Avram instead goes to speak to the guests. Says the Gemara, Maseches Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chavzayin, Gadol achnasas orchem, yoser mi, kabbal's pnei hashchina. It is better to welcome guests than kabbal's pnei hashchina. That is a mind-boggling Gemara. It's a wild idea. Kabbal's pnei hashchina, is that not the best thing ever? It's the high madrega. Why is Kabbal's Pnei Hashchina considered? Why is Hachnasas Orchem considered to be greater than that? Personal theory. I don't know if anyone says this, but to me it always seemed pashut. Hachnasas Orchem, the Gemara says, you're Machnas Orchem, you're like the Ribono Shel Olam. Mahu Afata. Hashem is Machnas, so we should also. It's one of the things the Gemara says to be like the Ribono Shel Olam. So I always thought that the reason why Hachnasas Orchem is better than Kabbal's Pnei Hashchina, the one thing better than being with Hashem is becoming like Hashem. Becoming like Hashem is even a madriga up, and that's part of what's going on there. But says Netziv something else. Says Netziv, of course, objectively, can I imagine people say that? Of course, objectively, Kabbal Pnei Hashchina is the best thing. But you know what? There's a halacha. There's a din. That din is, you have to be machnas orchem. And all of your avas Hashem, and all of your Kabbal Pnei Hashchina, hachnasas orchem wins. Says the Netziv, Kabbal Pnei Hashchina has the same halachic definition as Talmud Torah. If a mitzvah comes up and nobody else could do it, not called osik b'mitzvah. You got to stop your learning if no one else can help, and you have to stop your kabbalas pnei hashchina if no one else can do it. That's who Avram Avinu was. That's what Avram Avinu stood for. That kabbalas pnei hashchina is so chashav, but halacha wins. Halacha wins. Who is it Tziv Lecha referring to? He does this in Meshav Davar a little bit in the tshuva we spoke about last time. This is very much alive in the time of the Netziv with Torah Chassidus. The Netziv's son, Rav Meir Bar Ilan, when he writes about the Netziv, one of the Sfarim writes about the Netziv, and the Netziv's style was not to directly critique and fight the same way. He's the Rosh Hashiva of Volozhin. Volozhin, founded by Rav Chaim Volozhin, Talmuvagav, the Gra, not the biggest fan of Chassidim. It's not really his legacy the same way. The Netziv is not a chassid. But the Netziv is not a fighter the same way. He doesn't attack things the same way. It's not the way he communicates. It wasn't his style. The way his son says it out, I'm sorry that you don't have a copy of it. The way his son said it out, Af l'dvarim, it's the same called Rabban Shal Yisrael, 118. Af l'dvarim shehayu neged rucho, even if the Netziv didn't like something, lo hotzi bitoi charif mipiv. He wasn't given like charif musar about it. It wasn't what he did. Kol devarev afil divrei tochacha hayus man benachas. He always spoke calmly. He always spoke nicely. He was bein hamisnagdim. He's one of the misnagdim, but he didn't always like directly attack the chassidim. He would say things like misnag dafkal pidas chazal hayu hatalmud vashulchan aruch. That a person has to make sure that they're keeping halacha well, keeping halacha properly. This phenomenon for the Netziv, it's a great example of this. Chassidus starts. And especially in early Chassidus, you have what appears to be those who are not keeping halacha the way at least it seems to be, simple pshat and shas and shas and shulchan aruch. Zmanei tefillah is a very powerful example of this. Does in shulchan aruch have to finish davening kriya shema by a certain time? So you have machlokes in the Magen Avraham and the Gra when that time is. But if you're saying, if you're davening at 11 o'clock in the morning, shocker, that's not good for the Magen Avraham or the Gra. That seems to be against simple pshat in that. So what part of the Netziv godless? Part of the Netziv's godless is a couple of things. Number one, sometimes when you fight against someone, when you're challenging someone,
So the way that you do is we reject them and we make them into the most evil people ever. Tziv's not doing that. Tziv's saying they're people with what he would call an unbridled sense of Avas Hashem, without a sophisticated understanding of the limits, the boundaries that are necessary. It's unbridled. It's too much. It's too much. For the Tziv, that's part of the problem here. For the Tziv, that's part of what we are, of part of the fight. But he can be machshon as being L'shem Shemayim. I don't argue with someone, do they have to be L'shem Shemayim? Like, I argue them, I think they're wrong, but they're wonderful people. They're good intentions, they just happen to be wrong. Now, you can do that. Second thing we mentioned earlier, the Tziv doesn't view this phenomenon as this wildly new phenomenon that never existed in history. The Tziv says, we've met this before. We met it in time of Moshe. We've met it in the time of Shlomo. He goes through different historical time periods in Tanakh where the idea comes up. We've been here before. We've been here before, and it's not okay. And it's not okay. The Tziv happens to have a theory, which is, how do you contend with this? How do you contend with unbridled Ahava? What does a person do if there is too much? So the Tziv's theory is very simple, and it is very intriguing. There is one way to fix. One thing has worked over time with all of it. The model tonight, I guess, is Nach night here. There's a little bit going on there. Not a ton. There's a little bit of Nach we referenced. You know, say for Malachim. Not too fancy. I doubt it. Says in the Tziv, it's in a couple of places. It says in the Tziv, who is able to really solve the problem? Only Chizkiyahu. Why is Chizkiyahu able to? The time Chizkiyahu, they stopped worshiping over Zarah. What happened there? It says in the Tziv, he taught them Torah. He taught them Torah. And that one of the things which Torah does more than anything is an Avas Hashem not rooted in Torah. And it's very exciting, but it doesn't really have boundaries the same way. And then there's an Avas Hashem which is rooted much more, in Torah. Torah is able to give it its form. Torah gives it its limits. Torah gives it its guides. And that way it's an Avas Hashem, which is not going to be unhealthy. Avas Hashem of Kasher Tziva Hashem. And when you're able to introduce Torah, so then suddenly we're able to rectify things a little bit. In that sense, what the Netziv is sort of pointing out, what the Netziv is developing is the following idea. I want to summarize and I want to sort of contextualize this a little bit, and then we'll stop because I'm a little bit tired. Says the Netziv as follows. Avas Hashem is so important. Yisodi HaTorah, mitzvot tamidios, the Rambam and Sefer Mitzvot even counts Avas Hashem towards the beginning. It's so fundamental, Avas Hashem. B'ha'az Hashem al-kecha, it becomes part of Kabbalos Olmach HaShemayim, Avas Hashem. We're commanded to love Ribbono Sha'olam, And it's a very major, significant tzivoy. It demands at times to sacrifice even our lives for Ribbono Sha'olam, says Netziv. Based on Gemara, based on Rambam. It also demands that we think about Hashem, a person's elevated, to be cognizant of the Rabbono Sha'olam, to have a yediyas Hashem, to have a tshuka, a desire to be with them. In a certain, that's what's really there. That's what it's all about. Says in the Tziv, there's a phenomenon sometimes of people that the halacha stuff is hard for them. Halacha details, not their thing. But they love the experience. They love the spirituality. They love the connection. But it's hard to have those limits. Says in the Tziv, those people are L'shem Shemayim. But L'shem Shemayim, and they make mistakes sometimes. They make mistakes sometimes because there are limits that are here. Rabbanu Shalom wanted there to be particular limits. In his commentary on Shir HaShirim, the Tziv gives a very intriguing mashal. He's describing a marriage. We're not commenting on the marriage he's describing is what we would call a fairly traditional marriage. It is not so modern as far as, you know, allocation of labor and things like that. We are not looking at this to have a schmooze about, you know, cooking at, I enjoy cooking at home, about what it looks like. We're going to use it for the model that the Netziv gives. That's Netziv the following mashal. You have a woman who loves her husband. Okay, she mamish loves him. Crazy. There's two ways of going. Imagine the woman. One of the situations, she's like a little bit floaty, you know, She sits back, and all she does all day is think about how much she loves her husband. She's there all day, like, husband comes home, how you doing? I love you. What do you do all day? I was just thinking about, like, I was thinking about you, I care about you. I'm in such love with you. It's so exciting. Okay? Problem is that in that house, she's primarily responsible for the running of the home, and pasha, nothing gets done, says the Netziv. No one cooked food. And you're like, okay, is it dinner? And it's like, I love you.
And it's like, it's good, it's a nitziv, but like, I want to eat, you know? Again, traditional manner, I want to eat something. And then she's like, I don't even get this. Like, I'm mom, I just, I love you so much. So says nitziv, imagine a different home. Imagine a different home. Comes home, husband comes home, and the house looks nice. He comes home and she says, oh, I made a great dinner tonight. Does the husband look at the wife and they're talking, hanging out later that night, they're hanging out and they're momish in love, talking about their feeling for each other. It's a very beautiful moment. Awkward if you're a fly on the wall, but a beautiful moment for the couple. Says the Netziv, do you think the husband has tainas on his wife for not thinking about how much he loves him the whole day? I'm like, no, I think I'd rather a wife that's going to just like love me. I want you to sit on the couch thinking like, yeah, I love him. You know, that's what I want. So the Netziv, of course not. It's the same thing with the Ribono Shel Olam. Think about building a relationship. The Ribono Shel Olam gave us mitzvahs, gave us things to do. And a person sits all day, you're like floating, thinking about the Ribono Shel Olam. No. There are obligations to do. Maybe we'll speak after we speak. Next time I want to speak about Chassidim and observance of Halacha next time a little bit to have some intriguing ideas. But we'll speak about the goal of mitzvahs for the Netziv. So I think that mitzvahs are really important. They sustain the world, mitzvahs. Sustain the world. Mitzvahs are what sustains the world. Says Netziv, it's like the housekeeping. It's what keeps the thing functioning, mitzvahs. The Baruch Shalom says what he wants. So he doesn't want to sit there all day like, I love Hashem. Don't you chakras tonight? No, because I love Hashem so much. Did you learn today? I'm just thinking about Hashem. Did you keep this mitzvah? I'm thinking about Hashem. No. It's not what it is. Isn't it safe? There's an offness which is present there. Something's not accurate there as far as what's supposed to happen. The limits, the boundaries, they need to be there. They need to be there in a real way. That's why it's a very famous Torah. It comes already maybe even in Rishonim, but the Baal Shem, they quote a saying this idea. The Torah, when it refers to the Isser of incest, of brother and sister, the Torah refers to it as chesed hu. Why is it called chesed? So the Baal Shem already said, because it is loving kindness, it's just wildly inappropriate. It's chesed with no boundaries. It's still called chesed, but it's nisa d'oraisa. It's a terrible, terrible thing. It's ava, it's love, it's great, isn't it awesome? Chesed unbridled is an isser. Then the Chizkiya Rim pointed out a similar phenomenon. There's a bird called the Chasida. The Gemara in Chulin says, why is the bird called the Chasida? Why is it called Chasida? It does chesed with all of its friends. It's a very nice, kind bird with all of its friends. But it's a tummy bird. Chizkiya Rim says, why is it tummy? It's called the Chasida. So Chizkiya Rim said, because it only does chesed with its friends. It's a distorted form of chesed. It only cares about it in a limited context. The idea of Ava and the idea of chesed, these are traits which are wonderful and they are good, but only if they are kept in check and used in the right way. If they're not used in the right way, if they're not used properly, you get lost a little bit. You're missing something. The Ava has to be held in check. The Ava has to have structure. Otherwise, it's all there. That's why marriages also, the Ava has a degree of structure. I'll give you a mashal. It's a mashal that I heard with my wife once, the therapist. It's an unbelievable mashal. My wife wrote it, I think, in one of the to-go's last year, and I met at least three or four people wrote to her, Dafka, that they like this. The mashal is an amazing mashal for all of it. Imagine you are in Tel Aviv. The original contact, maybe one day we'll talk about it. But imagine you're in Tel Aviv and you're at a rooftop party. It's like a geschmack thing, you know? It's an exciting experience. There are two kinds of rooftop parties. You ready? There's two to go to. One of them has a fence around the roof and one of them doesn't. Which party do you think is going to be a more enjoyable one to be at? So the idiot says, one of them has, it's all free. Do whatever you want. There's no boundaries at all. It's unbelievable. Those of us that are reflect upon it for not even a second are aware of the fact that undoubtedly the party, if it has fences around, it's a little bit safer also. You know that what you're doing is going to be okay. You're not terrified you're going to fall off. You're not terrified where things are going to go. A lot of the Avas Hashem that we have is a beautiful thing. Torah and mitzvos provide the structure and the fence. They provide that structure. They provide that to make sure it's going to be focused, appropriate. It's going to be good. It's not going to be too dangerous. And those that break holes through those fences, it becomes much more dangerous. It's a certain kind of excitement, a certain kind of Avas Hashem, which undoubtedly I think is very much present, but it's important to cultivate Avas Hashem, but to do so in a way which is appropriate, which understands the precise sort of limits and boundaries of things that are there.